Acts chapter 16. And we'll just pick up in verse 25. Actually, we need to read the previous verse we need to go back to verse 22 to get the beating. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" A universal question that should be asked: what must I do to be saved? Because everybody needs to be saved. And the answer found here is, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoicing, believing in God with all of his house. And of course the story goes on about how that the magistrates came and led Paul and Silas away and set them free, let them go. I'm preaching this morning and tonight, and I'm pretty positive I'll not get done tonight, because I believe God wants us to squeeze absolutely every bit of the juice out of this we possibly can, because I believe it's where we are. As I said this morning, RBT ought to be the most excited church, most excited place, especially in this area, if not in America. And if we're not if the world is more excited about the world than we are about God and the things of God, then we're something wrong with us. God never intends for a saved person to be a sad person. God never intends for a person that's been born again to walk around like they're burdened to death because they're saved. That's not the will of God. You'll never win anybody to Jesus projecting that kind of a testimony. We need to show them that in spite of being beat up, we're never beat down. We love Jesus in spite of what's going on in our life. He loves us too much to make a mistake, and we love Him too much to desert and abandon post. We're carrying on. We're staying by the stuff. We're not looking to get out. We're not looking to quit. We're not looking for reverse. We're not blowing retreat. Thank God we're marching on. We're soldiers, we've got a plan, we know our captain, we know what we're supposed to be doing, and praise God, we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever God is doing in this hour, He's going to do through His church, by His church, and for His church. And if His church quits, if His church gets beat down, then the work of God will suffer. The work of God will suffer. So we must not get beat down. We must not get discouraged. We must not get defeated, because the work of God is too important. If you get to looking at how important you are and all of that, you might get beat down and you may think about quitting. But if you think about how important the work of God is. Amen. Oh, that's right. But anyway, thank God for that little spurt that come through there. Amen. But Acts 16, we find that they were beat up physically. Outwardly, they were beat up. It makes reference to that in these verses. They were beaten. And there's other verses that shows that Paul and they experienced beatings. And we pointed that out this morning. But I would mention again that they were beat up, but they were not beat down. And I believe that God is wanting us to get a hold of this, because there's no telling what kind of beat up days might be laying ahead of us. We don't know what is coming our direction. Our Christian liberties are quickly being snuffed away and taken away. And we're living to see days, my friend, where it's almost criminal to be a Christian. It's all right to be a baby killer. And it's all right to be a, you know, are you listening? I heard on the radio yesterday where somebody had killed a woman that was pregnant and cut the baby out. They got her up for death. They got her up on death row. Got a death sentence on her. You know, going to die. And I thought, my soul, I wouldn't kill her. I wouldn't punish her when there's over a million babies done that way every year. Amen. Well, anyway, I don't want to get on that because that's a different message. But anyway, God don't want us to be beat up or beat down. Are you listening? And so we talked a lot about that this morning. We pointed out in the Scriptures here in this passage that there was a lot of emphasis about darkness. This was a dark experience Paul was going through and Silas was going through. And also God is wanting us to see that just because it gets dark doesn't mean that we cannot serve Him, that there is not ministry available for us. Because at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God in an adverse circumstance and the most inopportune time, they were praying and singing praises unto God. It'll never get dark enough for you to quit serving the Lord. You'll never go through a valley deep in love long enough that'll cause you to quit serving the Lord. You'll never have a circumstance come in your life that'll be so bad and devastating that it'll knock you down and you can't never get back up. That's never the will of God. Never the will of God. God, as Brother Ivan testified, God will give you grace. God will give you strength to go through it. He surely will. Amen. Well, I feel a good touch on that. Let's pick up where we left off this morning. And I want to talk about just several things here tonight on what kept them from getting beat down. I'm interested in that. And we'll probably develop that thought even further as if we get into the book of Philippians and kind of just point out some key verses in the book of Philippians, some I've already seen, that would stand out as to why Paul and Silas weren't beat down. I think, my soul, when I read some of those verses even this evening, sitting there in my car, I thought, no wonder they didn't get beat down when they were beat up. And guess what? The same God they serve, you serve. Right. Oh yeah, that's a good point the Lord just put in my heart. It's not that Paul and Silas had a monopoly, a specific, particular monopoly on God that you and I don't have. Brother, God saved Paul by grace. God saved me by grace. I'm a child of God just as much as Paul the Apostle is a man of God or God's child. Hallelujah for that. This chapter wouldn't minister to me, and it wouldn't minister to you if Paul was way up here and we was way off down here. Because we'd explain it away. We'd say, well, no wonder Paul shouted. Look what a relationship he had with Jesus. If I could have that relationship with Jesus, certainly I'd shout too at midnight. Are you listening? We have the same availability to us. You can know God. Listen, you can know God on an intimate level, as did the Apostle Paul. You can be determined to serve God come what may, just like the Apostle Paul. Amen. What was produced in Paul came from the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. But what kept them from getting beat up or beat down? Number one, are you ready? We're going to hit it the ground running. Got a lot of things to cover tonight. Don't pass out on me, all right? It's still daylight outside. Number one, I want you to notice this. These are some things God gave me, put in my heart. They don't mean nothing to you, then just wait till God does say something. But here's some of the things God put in my heart. Number one, The reason they didn't get beat down, number one, this is not the main message either, by the way. This is just another facet. Number one, they knew that they were beat up for right and not for wrong. They knew that the beating up that they experienced did not come because of guilt and conviction, of crossing God's Word, disobedient, rebellious. They knew that what was happening to them was for the furtherance of the gospel. They knew what was happening to them was for right, not for wrong. Now, if they knew if they were being beat up because of wrong, there would be conviction, there would be guilt, there would be shame, there wouldn't be shouting, they wouldn't be praising the Lord. At midnight in a jail, they would be over in the corner, my friend, all defeated, because they knew that they had messed up, they knew they had disobeyed God, and this was coming on them. But how did they get beat up and not get beat down? They knew that the beating up was not for wrong, but for right. Listen to what the Bible said. I referenced these verses this morning, but here I want to read them. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there and read them with me, you might need to mark these verses if you don't already know them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Give you just a moment there to find the Word of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 16. Beloved, so we know who he's talking to, God's people. And he's writing about the subject of suffering. Writing to God's people about the subject of suffering. I'd like to tell that TV evangelist bunch that when you get saved, it's not a path of prosperity. In fact, it'll be a path of persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I get so sick, I listen to that mess, I'll be out somewhere where I get it, and I listen to that TDN mess, and I mean it ain't nothing but prosperity up one side and down the other. That says if you get saved and live for God, you'll be prosperous, and you'll be healthy, and you'll be wealthy, and the devil can't mess with you. That's not in the Bible. Peter is writing to those that are saved and called them beloved, not backslid, but beloved, and he's writing about suffering. Listen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is... That sounds pretty definite, pretty positive. You can expect it. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice! Wait a minute, preacher. You mean in one verse it says it's going to get rough, and the next verse it says to rejoice. Preacher, that don't make sense! No, not to the human flesh, not to the human nature. But in the spiritual, thank God, listen, we can go through a beat up experience without getting beat down. Amen? Because the blows to the flesh don't reach the spirit of man unless you let it. But here's what, listen. He said, but rejoice. Why, preacher? Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ. For right. That's for right. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy. Paul and Silas exhibited these verses. Paul and Silas is showing us when the fiery trial, the hard times come, that there can be produced by the Spirit of God the element of happiness. I hope we can get a hold of that. I really sense in my heart God's trying to speak to us tonight. I'm not up here giving a religious speech. I really sense and I am conscious that God is speaking to this church. God is trying to speak to all of us and prepare us and get us ready. Get us ready. Amen? Oh, yes. I want to say it again, friend. He said here in this verse, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. I want to say it again. I feel it strong, buddy. That happiness is not fleshly. That happiness doesn't come through possessions. That happiness does not come through circumstances. That happiness there is produced, thank God, in your soul by the Holy Ghost of God. The bottom can fall out of your life and a child of God can still shout. Not of yourself, not of your own doings. You can't do it. But I'll tell you, if you're right with God, the Holy Ghost, buddy, can take you beyond the circumstances of life. Boy, God wanted somebody to hear that. Me included. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of God, our Spirit of glory and of God, resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. Watch this right here. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. That is, you better not suffer for wrongdoing. You won't be happy if you suffer for wrongdoing. You can't rejoice if you're suffering for wrongdoing. But like Paul and Silas, if you're suffering because of right and not wrong, guess what? Thank God you'll be able, at the midnight hour, with your back bleeding and your feet in the stocks, you'll be able to say, hallelujah, anyhow. Amen. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. And we didn't read that verse. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Huh? Was Paul and Silas ashamed? When everybody was sleeping, they were shouting. Why? Because they weren't ashamed. If you're ashamed, listen, hey, if you're ashamed, you're silent. You ain't going to be shouting if you're ashamed. That's why the devil wants to get you full of shame. And my friend, trip you up and put things in your life and get you to get crossways with your family and get crossways with your church. And so why? So that, brother, listen, you won't be able to testify of the good grace of God in hard times. But if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God. Let him glorify God on this behalf. Number two, I got to hurry. Didn't mean to spend all that time on that, but it felt so good. Not only was they beat up for right, not for wrong, but number two, they were more interested in righteousness than they were their rights. Fine, what a point. Why were they not beat down? Beat up, yes. Beat down, no. Why? Because they were more interested in righteousness than they were their rights. They were more interested in what people thought about their God than they were what people thought about them. That's why they weren't revengeful. That's why they weren't retaliating. That's why they weren't fighting fire with fire. You beating us and it's wrong. He goes on down there and talk about being Romans. Us being Romans. You listen, what you did to us was not called for. They could have got all bent out of shape and said, we're going to sue you. You beat us wrongfully. You didn't have the facts. What you did to us was wrong. You don't hear Paul mouthing off about his rights because he was more interested in righteousness. Living right and being right and having the right attitude and projecting to those around him what a real Christian's supposed to be like. Even when they are done wrong. If you ever get the mentality to, well, I deserve better than this. Why is this happening to me? You're headed down. You're going to get beat down. Amen? All right, let's go on. Y'all ready? You still writing? Got your pen ready? Here's your third one. The third reason why I believe that they were not beat down was because they had a supreme trust in the providence of God. Amen? Had a supreme trust in the providence, or could I put it like here in this passage that's illustrated? They had a supreme trust in the divine placement of God. Let me give you a verse. I'm going to jump way ahead into another message if the Lord leads us there. Listen to Philippians chapter 1. Listen to Philippians chapter number 1 right quick. Listen to Philippians 1, verse number, let me find it here. Verse 12. But you just listen to this one verse. This book was wrote in Paul in that jail in Rome. Listen to what he says right here. And then you'll understand why that they weren't beat down. Talking about the supreme trust and the providence of God, the divine placement of God. Paul and them was aware that where they were, God was in it. Look right here, verse 12. He's writing the Philippian believers, and here's what he said. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things that involve the beating up, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, hey, don't be bent out of shape over what's going on in us. Yes, we are beat up. Yes, our backs are bleeding. Yes, we're in prison. Yes, our feet are in stocks. But don't worry about it. God's got us here to reach somebody for the furtherance of the gospel. Whew, son, I can't hardly stand it. If you can get where this book of Feeds you, I guarantee you one thing it'll do. It'll turn church from boring to blessing. If you get hooked up with this book and let this book start guiding you and developing you and growing you and maturing you, and you can feed on this book and you're seeing that book starting to be lived out in your life and it's feeding you and you've got to have it, I'll tell you, friend, it'll turn the Christian life into something wonderful and something blessed, even if there is beatings involved. Ain't no wonder a lot of people don't get involved in a worship service is because they're 500 miles away from the Bible. They couldn't tell you the last time that God's Word ever spoke to them. They probably can't even remember the last time they ever even wanted it to. But I'm telling you, brother, Paul and Silas did not get beat down because they were more interested, they had a supreme trust in the providential divine placement of God. Buddy, I'm telling you, you're talking about the devil having a hard time dealing with you, is if you live your life with that in mind, God's got me here. God's got me here. When it gets hard on Monday or any other day of the week, you'll be able to handle a lot better when you realize God's got me here. God providentially has placed me right here. You wonder why Joseph, y'all pay attention to me. Remember, you wonder why Joseph had the attitude that Joseph had when he was being lied on by his brothers, sold, and put in a pit and sold and put in Potiphar's house and she lied on him and he's put in prison and he was forgotten and you know all of that, but you never find him getting bent out of shape. You never find him complaining. You never find him whining. You know why? Because he still remembered what God showed him when he was 17 years old. God showed him that you were headed to the throne. You're headed to the throne. Now the direction God was taking him didn't make a bit of sense. It don't look like you're going to the throne when you're in a pit. It don't look like you're going to the throne when you're being lied on, when you're being thrown in prison wrongfully. Are you listening? And then when the butler and baker forgets about you, are you listening? Don't look like it. But listen, God, God don't work the way we do. God's roadmap might read a little different than ours. Amen. God may say, look, you may think you're going this direction, but I wouldn't get the glory if you went that direction. I'm going to take you in a way that it'll be evident that I did it. So that when you get on that throne, everybody will not say, Joseph did it. But everybody will say, God did it. Hallelujah. Well, I like it when God's saying something to us. I can make it. I can make it as long as God's saying something to me. I can handle it as long as God's saying something to me. God is speaking to us tonight. Don't get too excited about that. Now, I wouldn't get too excited about that. There's 100 churches probably within 100 miles of this church tonight. God's not said nothing to them in weeks and months. But here's little old RBT sitting in a little old town beside the road that the God of heaven is sending a word letting us know you may get beat up, but don't get beat down. Supreme trust in the providence of God. Here's number four, whatever it is. Number four, or D. The reason they didn't get beat down is they knew God had a greater good in mind. God had a greater good that He desired to accomplish. Now, if Paul and Silas hadn't been in the jail, it would probably have been a greater good for them. If their backs weren't bleeding, it'd probably been better for them. But they realized God's got something going on. Hey, you ought to get excited about that. Even when you feel beat up, you ought to just say by faith. It may not be by feelings. It may not be by sight. It may be by faith. But you ought to be able to say, God's got something going on. God's got a greater good that He's trying to accomplish in my life. You think God's trying to develop you? How many believe God's trying to develop you? You believe God's trying to take you further tomorrow than you were today? Sure. Of course. And when ill circumstances come, that don't thwart that plan. It may involve that plan. Because God can do in the darkness what the devil can't even do in the light. Amen. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, God is not on the throne biting His fingernails off concerning your life. He's not troubled wondering what in the world you're going to do or what in the world He's going to do. He's in charge. He's in control, thank God. And He's got an end result that He's after. And He will accomplish it. Listen, here's something else. Here's another one. The reason they didn't get beat down because the spiritual was stronger than the physical. They didn't get beat down when they were beat up because the spiritual was more important and stronger than the physical. We're in a physical revolution in this country. Amen. Every time you turn around, it's a advertisement of some sort on radio or television or billboard or something. Some kind of advertisement of some kind of a physical exercise or some kind of equipment to buy. So, are you listening? I'm not against exercise. Are you listening? Well, I started to say somebody in our church, their favorite verse is that bodily exercise profiteth little. But it does profit. Amen. But our country, listen, our country is, I'm telling you, sick in that area. I mean, it's all they think about. It's all they think and breathe and eat is this thing of the body. And I believe it's important, and I think that we have failed, lots of us have failed in that area. Say amen right there. But here's my point. If we would be as interested in spiritual health as the world is in physical health, we'd be in revival. Get sick. You get sick. You want to start getting better. Start taking your temperature. You start taking medicine. You go see a doctor. Whatever. You know why? You don't like being sick. You want to go. You want to get better, right? Well, you get sick spiritually. What do? Do you go to Jesus, the great physician? Do you find out what's wrong? Do you want His opinion on what's wrong with you? He don't have to do an x-ray. He knows what's wrong with you. He can say right here, if you'll quit this or stop this or repent of that or change that, you'll be all right. This is what's making you sick. But if we get sick physically, we run to the doctor because we know we're going to miss work, we're going to miss church, we're going to miss a lot of things. My friend, plus we just don't like feeling bad. But we get to feeling bad spiritually. We get sick spiritually. We hesitate to go to Jesus with it. My friend, the first place for it to go is to the altar or somewhere at the house, a private place where we can pray and say, God, I'm sick spiritually. I don't like feeling bad spiritually. What's wrong with me? We get sick spiritually. We run away from the doctor. We run away from, you know why? Because we know that he's going to put his finger on what's wrong with us. Like that woman went to the preacher in the front and was going to pray. She said, "There's something wrong with my life, but I don't know what it is." He said, "Get down there and guess at it." He said, "Get down there and guess at it." She got down there and got to praying and everything. In a few minutes, she got up with a smile on her face and looked like everything was fine. He said, "Well, how about it? Did you find out what it was?" She said, "Yeah, I guessed it first thing." Yeah. We're not as blind to what's wrong with us as we want to let on. Most time when I get back clear as a goat in my heart, and I'm cold in my heart, don't look at me like that. You know, amen. I told you this morning, ain't no big ass on my chest. I'm human too. I battle being spiritual too. It's a battle, buddy, to stay spiritual. It's an everyday business, an everyday concern. Because it's going to be opposed every day of your life to try to knock you down from the level of spirituality. Because if he can knock you from spirituality to carnality, he don't have to fool with you because you're not going to threaten him. You're not going to be no kind of a harm to the devil or anything he's got going on. Well, I got to hurry. I didn't mean to get hung up right there. The spiritual was stronger than the physical. Here's another one. They didn't get beat down. Here's another one. He wasn't living... Well, this is very similar to the other one, but it's still different. He wasn't living for the physical, which is perishing, but for the spiritual, which was being renewed day by day. He almost had the attitude, go ahead. Beat on it. Put some stripes on the back. It don't matter. It's going back to the dust anyhow. It's perishing. It's perishing! Hey, Mr. Beater. Hey, Mr. Beater. I just want you to know the worst you can do to me is kill me. I want you to know the worst thing you can do is kill the body. I want you to know that, listen, Mr. Beater. Hey, Mr. Jailer, whoever's beating you. Hey, I want you to know, don't worry about it because I'm headed to glory. The real me on the inside is going to get shed of this robe of flesh anyhow. Thank God. Amen. Boy, that ought to give you help. That ought to help you wondering what in the world might happen in the future. It don't matter. The worst thing that happened is you're dead. And if a Christian dies, you're pulling out for glory. We're in a day of drive-by shootings, walk-in shootings. We're living in a day of nuts. I want you to know, friend, if someone were to burst through that door and put a bullet through my heart, I'll tell you, my friend, and it killed me before my body hit the ground. My eyes would be beholding the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't lose. I'm a winner either way. Thank God. Glory! What freedom that is. What hope that is. Thank God. Yes, hallelujah. Glory. Sure. Well, that's a freedom. That'll relieve you from worry, praise God. You won't lay awake all night wondering what in the world's going to happen. You'll be able to say hallelujah. Yes, amen. Glory. Hey, Mr. Beater, you're not beating me down. You may be beating me up, but you're not beating me down because I want you to know I'm not a body. I'm just in a body. His presence. Hallelujah, glory, that's right. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well, praise God. Hallelujah, glory. You think the world could even remotely give me a spiritual experience or any kind of experience that would compare with what's going on in my soul right now? Why would I choose to be carnal? Why would I choose to be worldly? Why would I choose to go the path of sin? Turn my back on God when the world cannot bless me. I'm being blessed tonight. Do I deserve it? No. Grace. Grace. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. I don't know. I don't feel like we need to go on. I think we need to just shout it out. Say hallelujah anyhow. He didn't get beat down because he weren't serving the physical that he knew was perishing. He said that in 2 Corinthians 4. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's what he's saying. Then he goes in the next verse, says, for these light afflictions. 35 years of beatings, 35 years of snake bites and shipwrecks and stonings. He said, light afflictions. He said, for these light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, then the things which are not seen are eternal. Hey, Mr. Beter, don't worry about it. I'm not focusing on what I can see. I'm not focusing on what I can feel. I'm focusing my faith on the will of God for my life. Hallelujah! Glory! For these light afflictions. Hey, Mr. Beter! I just want you to know all them stripes just light afflictions. I know you're giving it all you got. I know you're trying your best to beat me down. But you're not doing too good a job, because on the inside, I'm still in the will of God. I still love Him. I'm still going to serve Him. And what you're doing to me is just going to be classified in the file of light afflictions. What's wrong with you? I never seen anything like that. That beater probably thought. Most of them when I beat, they're crying. Most of them when I beat, they're whining. Most of them I'm beating, they're trying to get at me. Want to pinch my head off. But you are different. Let me go on. If I can. And I feel it way down here, I'm telling you. You don't have to be beat down. How many times have I said that this morning and tonight? You don't have to be beat down. Some of you said, preach, I wish you'd preach positive every once in a while. What do you think I'm trying to do? You better get in on it. It may be a while. Whether we know it or not, there's just a little bit of glory hooked on this message. We better shout while we can. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad I'm getting some help tonight. I tell you, I feel like running just almost. Though the outward man perish. In fact, I misquoted that. I didn't give you the first part of that verse, verse 16. He said, for which cause we faint not. He just come out of them verses that said that is bearing in the body the dying of the Lord. He just come out. You remember them verses I read this morning about where there's trouble on every side but yet not distress and all that? Same chapter goes right on down to verse 16. He said, for which cause we faint not. He said, which cause we faint not. And then he goes right into, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man. He said, I'm not focusing on the outward man that's perishing. It's perishing anyhow. It's heading back to the graveyard, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, next year. It's going back to the graveyard. But he said, I want you to know, Mr. Beter, on the inside of me is the new man created in Christ Jesus. I want you to know, one of these days, the new man's going to break out of the old man and set sail. Thank God, the world's unknown. Hallelujah. Boy, this has happened to me. I hope it's happened to you tonight. Here's another one. If we can get it, I don't know if we'll get it or not. You know why he weren't beat down? He loved the Savior more than self. You know why he didn't quit when he himself was having a hard time? When he himself was being beat up, when he himself was, the back was bleeding, feet in stock, and in the midnight hour, you know why he didn't quit? It's because he had a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ than he did for himself. You know why people quit when it gets hard? They love themselves. That's why people quit church and all of that, because they love their self more than they do the Savior. I want to ask you, all of us tonight, what's in competition in our life with the Savior's love? I wonder if if Jesus were to ask you what he did, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? What would your response be? What if he brought up all of the things in your life that he knows that you've got affection for? I wonder if he were to bring them all up and pile them in a pile, and then he puts himself over here and he says, hey, and calls your name and says, lovest thou me more than these? Most people would have to say, if they'd be honest with the way they're living, they'd have to say, Jesus, I love these more than you. Because I'm giving my devotion to them. I give my affection. I give my time to that. Are you listening? I will tell you this. If God's people would love the Savior as much as sinners love sin, we'd have revival. If we would treat the Savior with the devotion and affection that sinners treat sin, We'd experience the greatest move of God this generation has ever seen. You think about how sinners love sin. Think about it. It don't matter how much it costs them. It don't matter how much time's involved. It don't matter the sacrifice. It does not matter. You know why? That sin is an affection and a love and an addiction in their life, and they live for it. They'll give their last dime to get in it. But God's people, we whine around. God help us. It's a wonder God can help us. It's a wonder God blesses us anyway. It's grace. Has to be. Here's the reason he weren't beat down. He loved the Savior more than self. Here's your verse. Listen, I'm going to try to find a place here to continue. Some of you took a deep breath. You thought I was going to say, I'm looking for a place to quit. I said, I'm looking for a place to continue. And you say, he loved the Savior more than self. Here's your verse. Acts 20:24. Listen to what the Bible says. After Paul had been told that by the Holy Spirit and witnessed to him by the Holy Spirit that bonds and afflictions was going to abide him. Brother Seals, listen to what it says. But none of these things moved me. Here's the secret. But none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's the secret. So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, you know the reason that when I found out, the Holy Spirit's what told him. The Spirit bears witness that bonds and afflictions abide him. But he said, none of these things move me. You know why? Because me's not important. He said, I don't count my life dear to myself. He said, I love the Savior. Amen. Can I give you another verse right here? I don't even have this down, but it came to my mind just now. Listen. Listen. Chapter of Philippians. Let me find it here. Chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ also, or so Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. One verse, Paul said, my life ain't important to me. My life is not dear to me. But then the other place, Paul said, it don't matter if it's by life or by death, as long as Christ is magnified in my body. That did come out of Philippians. The book wrote inside that Roman prison during that beat up experience. Here, let's give you another one. Here's you another one. Are you ready? Here's another reason he weren't beat down. I got two more. Can y'all handle two more?
Amen.
They were conscious that others around him were being influenced by them. They knew that there was prisoners all in that prison. And the reason they were not beat down in their beat up times was because they were conscious of people around them that if they got beat down would send the wrong message to them and they would probably never get saved. You'll never win anybody to God in a beat down condition. Are you listening? Amen. And the Bible did plainly say, and I'm going to deal with it a little more in depth later, the Bible did say there in Acts 16 that when they prayed and sang praise unto God, the Bible put it in there, and the prisoners heard them. Don't get beat down, friend, because you've got people watching your life. There's people being influenced by you. The Bible says that no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Listen, your life is influencing, good or bad, other people. On the job, at your house, at church. What would happen? What kind of message? These little kids around here, these boys and girls, they love me and I love them. Don't mess with them. Preacher, get upset. Are you listening? You ever seen a chicken on a June bug? You ever seen a chicken on a June bug? That's what I'd be on your head if you get to messing with one of these little kids. I love these kids. They're the church of tomorrow. These are the future teachers. These are the future piano players and soul winners and choir singers. And are you listening? Maybe even some of these boys be future preachers. You better believe I love them. I'm going to preach the truth to them. Amen. I'm going to preach the truth to them.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, what would it do to them if the preacher was always beat down? Can I give you all a little personal example right here? This week I was preaching in a little small church in Gaston, South Carolina. Small church. And I was trying to help them. I mean, they was just discouraged. The preacher's discouraged. They had some people leave. And I was praying, oh God, please help me to help them. Help me to help them. Well, I was trying to preach to them. In fact, I know y'all are not going to believe this, but I preached this message on being beat up but not beat down. I preached it all in one service on Monday night. I know y'all ain't going to believe that. And didn't even preach an hour. And I watched God pick them up. God turned that church around, including that preacher. Hallelujah, that's right. They were more interested and worried about numbers. I said, preacher, don't worry about the numbers. Get God in this place. Make much of Him. Let Him be big in this place. And I'll tell you, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
I said, what you're needing? You're thinking what you need is people. You're needing God. Because if you have people without God, you still don't have nothing.
That's right.
Amen. By the way, let me just, it's comical. I was preaching, you know, about loving self, that point there about loving the Savior more than self, and I mean, I was ripping up self and preaching against self and all that. And this fellow come up to me after the service, and he said, "Preacher," he kept a straight face. He said, "I'm offended." I said, "Oh, Jesus. I do it in Rogersville. I'm doing it down here." I said, "Well, sir, what are you offended about?" He said, "My last name is Self." I said, I was talking about hating self and crucifying self and kicking, putting self, you know, I was just letting it rip on self. And he said, "Preacher, my last name is Self." I said, "I'll never forget you, I promise." Amen. They were conscious that others were watching. Here's the last one. That's the truth. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it. I never heard. Who would have a name, last name, Self? I believe I'd change it. Lord, help us. Of course, after he told me that, then he lied and he said, "I don't worry about it. I rag preachers all the time, especially when I hear them preaching about self." Here's the last one, and we're going to be done for the night. They weren't beat down because their focus was on what they could do instead of what they could not do. Excellent point. Amen. They weren't sitting around thinking, "Well, you know what? If it wasn't for this jail, if it wasn't for these bars, if it wasn't for this darkness, if it wasn't for these stocks, if it wasn't for all of this pressure and problems and difficulty and adversity, I could do something for God." No, they weren't concerned, and their focus wasn't on what they could not do, where they could not go, but on what they could do. And what they could do is pray. Amen! Glory! Say, "Preacher, they're trying to take prayer away from us. There's not a gun big enough. There's not a sail big enough to keep you from praying." If they put a gun in your face and shot a bullet that big around and said, "If you pray, I'm going to pull the trigger," you could sit right there, look down the barrel, and get a hold of God in your spirit and the inner man and pray! They can't stop you from praying. Throw prayer out of schools. They can't stop a kid from praying. Really, they need to know they can't stop a kid from praying. No way. You ought to go to the Christian Law Association's website and find out what students' rights are. Amen. But you can pray. What they couldn't do was one thing, but what they could do was more important. Silas, hey, I tell you what we can do. We're kind of tied down at the moment. We're kind of hindered a little bit. We're kind of confined. We're kind of in bondage here. We can't go anywhere. And we could either whine, be the typical Baptist. We could whine or pout. Or we could pray and shout. I tell you what, let's do. Let's make a choice. Let's make a choice not to pout, but to pray. Let's make a choice to sing. All right, so what do you want to sing? I don't know. Hey, that's right. That might have been it. Amen. I'm saved! 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 Hallelujah! I want to say in closing that their focus was on what they could do and not what they couldn't do. And we're going to deal with that a little bit later on. There's something I'm just itching to give you right here, but I'm going to wait because you probably couldn't stand it right now. But on another point, I'm going to go a little bit more deeper right there, and I'm going to show you more in detail of what they could do. I'm going to have to give you. I'm not going to give it all to you, but I'm going to give this to you. If you get to looking at what they did and then look at what God did, He'll encourage you to do what you can do so that God can do what He can do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I can pray, but I can't send an earthquake. Well, then let some of it out. Let's all stand.